Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Climate Change, the Science of Sustainability, and How Each of Us Can Do Our Part is a nonfiction guide to climate change and sustainability by Pablo Ribeiro Diaz. Rather than treating the climate crisis as a narrow environmental issue, the book frames it as a systems problem involving energy, materials, waste, biodiversity, and economic design. It is written for general readers and aims to make sustainability understandable without heavy jargon, graphs, or technical overwhelm. The book's purpose is both explanatory and practical. It helps readers grasp how climate change connects to everyday consumption, public policy, business decisions, and collective action. A major emphasis is on moving from awareness to participation, showing that meaningful change depends on redesigning systems while also expanding individual and community involvement. The book is positioned as an accessible, action-oriented sustainability text that combines scientific grounding with a regenerative outlook. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, climate change as a systems problem rather than a single issue crisis. A central idea in the book is that climate change cannot be solved by isolated fixes or by focusing only on emissions in one sector. Diaz presents the crisis as the result of linked systems: how energy is produced, how materials are extracted and used, how waste is handled, and how economic incentives shape behavior. This framing matters because it changes the type of solutions readers are encouraged to consider. Instead of asking only how to reduce a personal carbon footprint, the book asks how entire systems can be redesigned to become regenerative rather than extractive. That broader lens also helps explain why climate action often stalls when it is treated as a technical problem alone. The book suggests that the scale of the challenge requires structural change, not just better habits. By connecting climate to resource depletion, pollution, and biodiversity loss, it shows that sustainability is not a side issue but a property of the whole system. Secondly, making sustainability understandable without losing scientific seriousness. The book is notable for translating climate and sustainability science into plain language for everyday readers. Its educational approach avoids dense academic presentation and instead explains core issues such as pollution, resource depletion, biodiversity loss, and interconnected ecological impacts in a direct way. This is important because many books on climate either remain highly technical or become overly simplified and motivational. Diaz aims for a middle path, scientifically grounded but readable. That balance allows the book to function as an entry point for readers who want a clearer understanding of the problem without needing prior expertise. It also makes the material more usable for action, since readers are more likely to engage with ideas they can actually follow. The accessible style is part of the book's method, not just its tone. By removing unnecessary barriers to comprehension, the book treats knowledge as a prerequisite for participation in sustainability rather than as a specialist domain. Thirdly, circular economy as redesign, not just recycling. Another major theme is the distinction between a true circular economy and a shallow recycling-only mindset. The book argues that sustainability requires rethinking how products are designed, used, repaired, reused, and reintegrated into production cycles. This is a more demanding idea than simply improving waste management. It implies that industries should be structured so that materials retain value for as long as possible and do not become unnecessary waste after short use periods. The practical implication is that sustainability depends on upstream design choices as much as downstream disposal systems. That shift in perspective is important because it places responsibility not only on consumers, but also on manufacturers, designers, and policymakers. The book uses this framework to show that material flows are central to climate action. What we extract, how we build, and what we discard all shape environmental outcomes. In this sense, circular design becomes a concrete strategy for reducing pressure on ecosystems while supporting long-term economic resilience. Fourthly, individual action as collective influence through voting, investing, and innovation. The book does not reduce climate action to private lifestyle changes, but it does argue that individuals matter when their choices are connected to collective systems. Diaz emphasizes that personal action becomes more powerful when it shows up in civic behavior, investing decisions, workplace choices, and support for innovation. This is an important distinction because it moves beyond the familiar debate about whether individuals can make a difference. The book's answer is that they can, especially when they participate in larger mechanisms that shape markets and policy. Voting can shift public priorities, investment can steer capital toward cleaner technologies, and innovation can accelerate better solutions. The argument is not that individual action alone solves climate change, but that it multiplies when coordinated with others. This gives the book a practical social dimension. Readers are encouraged to see themselves not just as consumers, but as participants in change. That broader view makes action more realistic and more consequential than guilt-based environmental advice. Lastly, Hope as a discipline built on realistic optimism and sustained engagement, the book also addresses the psychological challenge of climate communication. Rather than relying on fear alone, it treats hope as something active and disciplined, not merely an emotion. That matters because climate literature often falls into two unhelpful extremes: despair, that immobilizes readers, or optimism, that ignores the scale of the problem. Diaz tries to avoid both by combining urgency with a belief that progress is possible if people remain engaged. This approach is especially relevant in a period when many readers experience climate fatigue or feel overwhelmed by the pace of change. The book argues that the future is not fixed, which means current choices still matter. By framing hope as a practice tied to evidence and participation, it supports sustained attention instead of short-lived concern. That makes the book more than an informational guide. It is also a response to disengagement. Its psychological value lies in helping readers remain involved without denying the seriousness of the crisis. In conclusion, climate change will appeal most to general readers, students, professionals, and sustainability-minded citizens who want a clear explanation of climate change without academic overload. It is especially useful for readers seeking to understand how environmental problems connect to systems of production, consumption, and policy rather than treating climate as a single technical issue. The book also offers practical value for people who want to move from awareness to action, since it links individual choices to collective levers, such as voting, investing, workplace decisions, and innovation. What makes it stand out in the sustainability category is its combination of accessibility and systems thinking. Many books either simplify the subject too much or focus heavily on policy and data. This one tries to translate science into a broader framework for action, while keeping justice, scale, and regeneration in view. Its emphasis on circular design and disciplined hope also gives it a more constructive tone than many climate books without minimizing the urgency. Readers looking for a thoughtful, usable guide to sustainability will find it both informative and grounded. If you would like to support Pablo Ribeiro Diaz, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.